The Need and Importance of Voice Culture, Part 2, by Mrs. E. G. White, January 16, 1901. Let all make the most of the talent of speech, remembering that the voice has been given to them by God to be improved and used in His service. Let there be a reformation among us in respect to the way in which we use this talent. Let all take hold of this matter in earnest. God calls for a higher, more perfect ministry. He is dishonored by the imperfect utterance of the one who, by painstaking effort, could be an acceptable mouthpiece for him. The truth is too often marred by the channel through which it passes. The Lord calls upon all who are connected with His service to give proper attention to the cultivation of the voice, that they may utter in an acceptable manner the great and solemn truths He has entrusted to them. He calls upon them not to attempt to hold forth the word of life to others, unless they can do this in a way that will honor Him. Let them not mar the truth by defective utterance. Let not those who have neglected to cultivate the talent of speech suppose that they are qualified to minister, for they have yet to obtain the power to communicate. Let those who have not in the past felt it their duty to try to improve the voice begin this work now, before any more time passes away. When you speak, let every word be full and well-rounded, every sentence clear and distinct, down to the very last word. Many, as they approach the end of the sentence, lower the voice, speaking so indistinctly, with such weakness of utterance, that the force of what they say is destroyed. Words that are worth speaking at all are worth speaking in a clear, distinct voice, with emphasis and expression. But never search for words that will give the impression that you are learned. The greater your simplicity, the better will your words be understood. Has God placed in your hearts, young men and young women, a desire to do service for Him? Then by all means cultivate the voice to the utmost of your ability, so that you can make plain the precious truth to others. Do not fall into the habit of praying so indistinctly and in such a low tone that your prayers need an interpreter. Pray simply, but clearly and distinctly. To let the voice sink so low that it cannot be heard is no evidence of humility. Learn how to offer up your intercessions in an acceptable manner. First, consider your great need, and do not think it necessary to tell God a long list of things about yourself as if He did not know. Come right to the point. In a voice of urgent entreaty, make known your great need. Be as earnest as a child is when asking for something it very much desires. Mingle joyous thanksgiving with your requests. Thank the Lord for His great love and mercy toward the children of men. Ask Him to help you to be His instrument in saving souls. Ask for wisdom to help you to be His instrument in saving souls. Ask for wisdom to know how to approach your fellow men. And let your heart always be filled with sincere gratitude for God's great gift, the gift of His only begotten Son. Has not God given Jesus to die for you? And with this gift, has He not given Jesus to die for you? And with this gift, has He not given all heaven? Contemplate this subject, and your heart will burn within you as you think of the infinite sacrifice made in your behalf. Oh, put your heart, all broken and subdued, into your petitions. Do not, when you approach our Heavenly Father to plead for the salvation of your own soul and the salvation of those around you, offer up a petition that is as prosy as a chapter of an uninteresting book. All that is done in the service of God should be done with wholeheartedness. Let ministers and teachers pray with hearts overflowing with love for God and their fellow men. The people become weary of listening to prayers that are as dry, as destitute of moisture, as the hills of Gilboa were destitute of dew and rain. It is hard to imagine anything more icy, more devoid of fervor, than many of the prayers offered by ministers whose petitions ought to be warm with the fire of God's love. Tame, spiritless prayers are a sign of a Christless heart. He whose soul is softened and subdued by the love of God will pray with fervency and zeal. But let no one try to make eloquent prayers. Such prayers God does not acknowledge. Prayer is an expression of the need of the soul. Our prayers should never be set and formal, but full of tenderness and love. Yearning for a deeper, broader realization of the Savior's matchless love, we should cry to God for more wisdom. If there was ever need for soul-stirring prayers and discourses, it is now. The end of all things is at hand. Those who pray now should pray with sincerity, under the deep moving of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that we could see as we should the necessity of seeking the Lord with all the heart. Then we should find Him. Our hearts need to be cleansed from selfishness. So much of this great evil is cherished that the Lord cannot find room to enter. May God teach His people how to pray. Let the teachers in our schools and the ministers in our churches learn daily in the school of Christ. Then they will pray with earnestness and fervor, and their prayers will be heard and answered, even as were the prayers of Daniel. Then the word will be proclaimed with power. Let us learn how to pray in the Spirit. Let there be no more formal prayers. Let us learn to love God with heart and soul and mind and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Let us read and practice the instruction contained in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Then we shall offer prayers which bear the evidence of divine indicting, and such prayers will be heard and answered. Thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a humble and contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 57, verse 15. To those who are planning to enter God's work as ministers, I would say, strive with determination to be perfect in speech. Ask God to help you to accomplish this great object. When in the congregation you offer prayer, remember that you are addressing God and that He desires you to speak so that all who are present can hear and can blend their supplications with yours. A prayer uttered so hurriedly that the words are jumbled together does the hearers no good and is no honor to God. Let the ministers and all who offer public prayer learn to pray in such a way that God will be glorified and the hearers blessed. Let them speak slowly and distinctly and in tones loud enough to be heard by all, so that the people may unite in saying, Amen.